answer for the world today. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's run to Joshua. Joshua, chapter number 13. And we're going to pick off where we left off at in Joshua. And we're going to see what the Master has for us tonight. That's Joshua, chapter number 13. And we're going to read verse number 14. And then we're going to pray and ask God for his help. Once you get there, let's all stand. And we'll pray and see what the Lord has for us tonight. Joshua 13 and verse number 14. The Bible says, well, first of all, verses 7 through 13, we see that what's happened is that Joshua is dispensing the inheritance for the children of Israel. And then the Bible says, verse 14, only unto the tribe of Levi he gave non-inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. Now go down to verse number 33, the last verse in chapter number 13. The Bible says, but unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. We're going to talk tonight, this little thought, trusting God to provide. Trusting God to provide. Father, I pray God for your help tonight. I pray God for your guidance. I pray God for your direction. I pray God to help each of us to grab a hold of these truths tonight that I hope, I pray, will propel us to trust you that much more. That you will provide peace. You provide joy. You provide guidance. You provide understanding. You provide direction. You provide, God, whatever we need to have, whatever provision that we need to have. Yes, sir. You will provide for us. And for that, Father, we'll shout hallelujah. I pray, God, to forgive me of any sins in my life that will hinder you from using my vessel. I pray, God, to wash me thoroughly and make me pliable, make me usable. And for that, Father, I personally shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us, God, tonight. Why? Because we desperately need your help. And for that, God, we'll praise you. Father, let our gathering tonight not be in vain. But God, let it be worth something that will lead to victory. And for that, God, we'll praise you. That's it for now, Father. Father, I've left anything out. Please, I beg you in the name of Jesus to meet that great need too. By the way, I do pray, God, my friend. I do pray, God, we find out before the night closes where he's at. And I pray, God, he's safe. I also pray, God, he go back to get the help that he needs. And for that, God, we'll thank you. That's it for now, Father. For it's your son's name we pray. By the way, Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maybe see him. Trusting God to provide. Trusting God to provide. As I was reading these verses and we see where Joshua is dispersing the inheritance. I don't know about y'all, but I mean, if they go by all the family and they're telling everybody, well, you get mama's car, you get daddy's house, you know, or you get the money in the bank, and then somebody comes and tell you, but you don't get no inheritance. I don't know about y'all, I'm like, huh? Look what it says right here. The Bible says in verse number 14, only unto the tribe of Levi he gave non-inheritance. Drop down to verse 33. The Bible says this. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. And then he adds, the Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. Now, if y'all are going to be real tonight, you're probably saying to yourself, you know what? I mean, that's great and all, you know, in spiritual sense. Where am I land at? I mean, everybody's getting land. I mean, you know, Simeon is getting land, and the different ones are getting land. But what my land? What my property? Well, you got the Lord. Well, I mean, I know I got the Lord. That's great, but can I have like some substance, some material things too? I mean, let's just be real. I mean, a lot of times we say, "Well, God's got it. God's gonna do it." You be like, "Well." I know he is, but can he like show it to me? What do you mean? And that's what happened here. God tells them, he's already told them earlier, and now Joshua is reaffirming and said, hey guys, y'all don't get no inheritance. Y'all don't get no land, you don't get no property or any of those things, but instead he says here in verse 33, he says here, the Lord God of Israel, in Joshua 13 verse 33, but the Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. You got God. You're like, yeah, I got God. But in all honesty, we're like, huh? What the heck, I have God and stuff? But you'll notice that God's going to provide for them. But really, to me, what I see is a test of faith. It was a test of them trusting God to provide. Because it's easy, my friends, to trust that God can provide when you see the material things. When you see that you have the job, when you see that you have the house, when you see that you have the clothes, when you see that you have all these material possessions, it's easy to trust God. Then, yeah, I got my stuff. But what about when you don't have that? And you got to trust God to provide for you every single day. And that's basically what Levi, the tribe of Levi, was going to be doing. We're going to look at just a few things and then we'll be done. The first thing we want to see is the promise. The Bible says, back in Joshua 13 and verse 14, we have this promise. The Bible says in verse 14, only unto the tribe of Levi he gave not an inheritance. But notice what he said, though, the sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance. As he said to them, he says, you know what? You're not going to get any land. You won't get any kind of property, but you'll get the sacrifices that go to God. Now, that word sacrifices here means this. It means the burnt offerings. Now, I don't know about y'all. I'm like, okay, burnt mean fire. Offering. You mean going to burn the stuff? That's when we get the stuff that's going to be burned up? We still ain't got nothing. But no, they are going to have something. But it seems like they're going to get nothing. Wait a minute. You're telling me they're going to get all the stuff, all the material stuff, but what I'm going to get is the stuff that we burn to God. Wow, glory, that's all we have. I was like, man, okay, all right, praise the Lord. He said, Steve, let me see your stuff. What you got, Steve? See, so like, I got this new phone. I got this new, whatever it might be. You know, and you're going, okay. You know, I guess I think the Lord's going to let me borrow yours. You know, can I borrow your phone and make a phone call? You know? Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. And then you feel like, you know what, why do I got to borrow stuff? You know? What if I got to be the one that somebody got to come by and help me? Because that's basically what's about to take place right here. We see the promise. God says you don't get any inheritance, but you get me. And you get the things that are burned up to me. Now let's break it down. Let's look at the provisions. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18 and look at verse number 1. Deuteronomy 18, verse number 1. Remember the message, trusting God to provide. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 18 and verse 1. The Bible says in verse 1, Deuteronomy 18, the priest, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. But notice what it says, they shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He goes on to say, and his inheritance. Therefore, shall they have no inheritance among their brethren, the Lord is their inheritance. As you have said unto them, now watch this, and this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. And they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks or the jaw and the maw, which is the stomach. The first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shall thou give him. So what he's saying is this. Listen, you're not going to own your own stuff, but the stuff that the people bring to me, these are things that are also going to be things that belong to you. And there's certain portions that will belong to you. He says, the first things. He says, back in verse number 3. He says, in the middle part, whether it be ox or sheep, they should give unto the priest the shoulder part, the two cheeks, that's the jaw, and the maw, the stomach. The first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine. Now, just so I can help you all out with the wine, because that's what I'm talking about. Give me some bubbly. Hold on. That word wine here in this verse, it means, it's the Hebrew word, which means fresh grape juice as just squeezed out. It's called new wine. And every time you see the word new wine, we're talking about that which is not fermented. Fermented means it has been aged, that will get you intoxicated. But this is wine that is new wine, or is like grape juice. It's freshly squeezed off the vine. Matter of fact, if you try this, you go get you a vineyard, and you take all the grapes off that vineyard, you squeeze them off and you put them in a glass and you drink them and see if you get drunk. It ain't going to happen because it has a ferment. It has a ferment in order for it to be intoxicating. But he says to him, hey, these are things that will belong to you. He says right here, he says the first fruit of the corn, the wine, the oil here is fresh oil, and the first of the fleece, that's when you first mow or shear the sheep. These are the things that belong to you. He's saying, listen, I'm promising you, I'm going to take care of you, and this is how I'm going to provide for you. Now, that's all wonderful. But they're depending on the people, but they're not really depending on the people. They're depending on God. But sometimes we see the people and we look at them as being the provider. It's just like your job. When we look at the job, we say, I don't want to get fired. I want to lose my job. Number one, who gave you the job? Well, I mean, God gave me a job, but I don't want to get fired. Well, don't mess up then, okay? Just do your job. But nonetheless, if you got fired, if you got laid off, the same God that gave you the job is the same God that gave you another job. But so often, my dear friends, we let the job become our gods. We worship our jobs, and we don't even realize we're worshiping the job instead of worshiping the God that gave us the job. So look to God as the one who's providing for you. But oftentimes, we look at the people. And when we're going to see in a few moments, the priests were doing the same thing. The Levites were doing the same thing. Looking at the people instead of looking at God. So we see the provision, and now we see the problem. Look at Nehemiah 13, verse 10. Look at Nehemiah 13, and look at verse number 10. Look what the Bible says over here. That's right after 2 Chronicles, after Ezra. Look what it says over here. Well, nestled up in between there. We're about to Ezra. Look at Nehemiah 13 and verse number 10. Nehemiah 13 and look at verse number 10. And look what the Bible says right here. Now remember, Nehemiah went back to build, to rebuild the things of Jerusalem, so forth and so on. And a lot of things were neglected. A lot of things were not getting done. He had to have reforms. Now watch what happened. Watch what has taken place. Verse number 10 of Nehemiah 13. And I perceived, Nehemiah says, that the portions or the allotment of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled everyone to his field. That word fled here means to be driven away. His field means occupation or employment. In other words, my dear friends, they were not receiving the things that they were supposed to be getting in the storehouse or at the temple. So now they've gone back to work. Now watch what happens. The Bible says in verse 11, then contended I with the rulers. Wait a minute. What about the people? He is going to the rulers, and these are the ones who are supposed to be in charge. And look what he says to them. He says to the rulers, he says, why is the house of God forsaken? What's up? Why is the house of God forsaken? And the Bible says, and I gather them together, and I set them in their place or in their spot. I said, hold on a second. I go to the rulers. What's up with the house of God? Why is the house of God not being taken care of? Why are you not doing your job? Now, I'm going to be responsible for us, but as we're going to see in the next verse, apparently we're going to be, well, hey, ain't nobody giving their stuff like they're supposed to. So we had to go back out here to work, so therefore we've left the temple and left the house of God unoccupied. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. But he gets on them. He don't tell the people. Watch what the Bible says. That's what later anyway. Watch what the Bible says. Well, he set them in a place, verse 11. Then, the Bible says, brought all Judah the tithe or the tenth of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasurers or the storehouse. The Bible says, when Nehemiah went to the rulers, said, hey, what's up? Why aren't you doing your job? Well, ain't nobody doing their part, so we had to go out and do this right here. Get in your spot. Get in your place. Do what you're supposed to be doing. And as soon as they got in their spot, then the Bible says the people came and brought the things that they're supposed to be bringing. See, my dear friends, a lot of times we're so concerned with what somebody else is not doing instead of doing what they're supposed to be doing. Well, they ain't doing their part, so I ain't gonna do my part. Well, I got to do my part. These are both going to be in bad shape, amen? You know? I mean, my husband actually led me, so hey, I ain't gonna love him. And you're both sitting around there. Ain't nobody getting no love. And the kids walk around. Mama don't love daddy. Daddy don't love mama. They're like, well, it's probably my fault. Kids are blaming themselves. Yeah. What are you saying, preacher? Do your part. But I want to do my part. I want them to do their part. Then I'll do my part. Think what happened here. They got in their spot first. They got in their place first. Perhaps, my dear friends, if they stayed in their spot, stayed in their place, the people were, they may have stacked up, but they just got back doing what they're supposed to be doing, and everything had been going the way it's supposed to be going. What are you saying, preacher? When we are trusting God to provide for us, that means doing what you and I are supposed to be doing. Now watch what the Bible says here. Here's our examples for today. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and look at verse number 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and look at verse number 17. Look what the Bible says here. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 17. The Bible says this. The Bible says, in verse number 17, and this is Paul talking to young Timothy, he says, let the elders that rule well, that rule well means to be over you, be counted worthy of double honor. Now, those words, be counted worthy, means to be counted worthy means to be deserving, to be fit. And here's a word that we've twisted all up today, entitled. He says right here, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy or entitled or fit or deserving of what? Double honor. Now watch this. That word double honor there, a word double means, of course, twice, but honor means valuables, or watch this, money's paid. To any of them? He says right here, to those that rule what? Well. And then he says, especially to those who labor in the word and doctrine. That word labor means to work hard. It means to labor. It means almost to feel fatigue. I want to ask this a question. Are we doing all we're supposed to be doing and what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord? I mean, are you giving it all that you've got? Whether you're singing in the choir, or whether you're running the video ministry, or whether you're greeting folks at the door, or whether you're, no matter what you're doing, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you are a student, are you giving everything you've got to what you're supposed to be doing? I mean, doing it well. I mean, can God come by and say to us, you know what? Hey, they are laboring well, they are working hard, and the word feel fatigue, when you feel fatigue, that means you start to go out. Are you worn out when you serve God? And I mean falling apart. But I mean, do you feel, you know how these guys and ladies, when you work really well all day, I mean really work, at the end of the day, it's a sense of fulfillment. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, like you work out in the yard, you're cutting grass, it's like everything, and you worn, you're tired, but you look and say, man, all right, everything looks good. But if you don't, you just, you know, you look and say, well, you know, it's all right, you know, and you don't get the same fulfillment. You don't get the same fulfillment. And the Bible says right here, with these elders, says, hey, are those who labor in the word and doctrine, for the scripture said, verse 18, that thou shalt not muzzle or close the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. In other words, that ox that's treading that corn, that's threshing that corn, he's supposed to eat too. If not, he's going to starve to death and what? Dying. And then the Bible adds, and the laborer, the workman, is worthy or deserving of his reward, or deserving of his pay for service, or his wages. That's the laborer, that's the workman, that God is working. Are we working like we ought to for the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you what, his pay is not just out of this world as far as heaven, but God will take care of us right here on the earth. What are you saying, preacher? We see some of the problems and some other things. But now let's look at the purpose. Look at the purpose. We're almost done. Look at the purpose. Flip back over with me to Deuteronomy 18, verse 5. What was the purpose of all this? Why did God even choose them to do all these things? We see the promise, the provisions, the problem. But look at the purpose. Look at Deuteronomy chapter number 18 and verse 5. Deuteronomy 18 and look at verse number 5. And look what the Bible says right here, verse number 5. The Bible says, verse number 5, Deuteronomy 18, verse 5. For the Lord thy God have chosen, have selected him out of all thy tribes to do what? To stand, to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. In other words, I have called them, I've chosen them to minister unto me. And the thing about it is this, I want them to give themselves wholeheartedly to this work that I've given them to do. So therefore, they don't have to worry about, because they had land, what was going to have to do? You got to take care of that land. You got to till the land. But if you take care of all things in the house of God, if you remember, there was a lot of stuff that had been done in the temple. A lot of things had to be done over there. You know, think about all the sacrifices. And from all the tribes. Think about all the animals, all that kind of stuff that had to be done when the time came for the sacrifices. All those types of things. But if they were not able to spend that time with that, but they had to spend the time tilling the ground and all that kind of stuff, there's no way the work would have got done like it needed to. Because you know what? It would have been half done. You know how just sometimes we do certain things? It's like you can't put all your time into this because you're doing this and you're doing that and you're doing this. So you divide yourself up into eight pieces. You know, and you're not really giving 100% to everything. God wants us to give him 100%. But he says right here, this is the purpose for that. Now, I want to show you one more thing. We're done. The promise. All these things here that took place, they had to trust that God will provide for them. Because they had to depend on God who worked through the people to give the things that they were given. Now, what does that have to do with you and I? Just one verse. And this is the verse I want to grab a hold of you tonight. It's Luke chapter number 6 and verse 38. Luke 6 and look at verse number 38. It's a familiar verse. You may have heard it spoken of before, maybe even read before. But I want us to look at it. Luke 6 and look at verse number 38. It's a good verse. The Bible says this, and this is gonna mess some of us up. But the Bible says this. Hold on. Give. Now you know how we are. I receive now. Come on, baby. I receive. But he starts off by saying give. Now watch this. It's a present imperative, which means it's a command to do something. He says right here. He commands us, give. Now watch this. Now this part you'll like. And it shall be given what? Unto you. But now some of us ain't giving, so therefore we ain't getting. Are you giving love? Well, then you're going to receive love. Are you giving friendship? Then you'll receive friendship. Some of us, well, I ain't got no friends. Well, are you being a friend? If you are being a friend, my dear friends, listen, the Bible is true. You receive a friend, but are you being a friend? Now, what is a friend? A friend is not someone that just listens to what you've got to say. Let me break it down. Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about? Let me break it down. You're on the phone with your friend. And they give you all the stuff that's happening with them. They just give it to you. And you listen to them. And then you say to them, yeah, I know what you mean, because I'm battling with this. Well, girl, I got to go. Wait a minute, I've been listening to you? I thought we were friends. Friends listen to one another. They help each other. Now, maybe you ain't got a friend because you won't be a friend to somebody else. You won't be a listening ear for somebody else. What are you saying, preacher? The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. So a lot of times we look at this from a material standpoint or a money standpoint. But it's a principle. He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Watch this. Good measure. Pressed down. Shake it together. And run it over. You like that, don't you? Look at this. Good measure. That word good means valuable measure or valuable portion. Pressed down. That word pressed down means to be packed, pressed together. I like it. Miss Pearl, when I go get ice cream, and they pack it in there. I don't like when they don't pack it in there. I like when I go to McDonald's, and they pack the french fries in my large order of french fries. When I ask for a large, I'm not asking for a medium. Okay, I get some amens on that. I mean, my time, I say, give me a large. And you wait for your large, and they give it to you like, it's like a medium. I think all the fries, here's the top of the container, and the fries are down here. But now they pack them in there. Now I do not know, Joe ain't gonna like this place much, but I like Five Guys. Glory to God. Let's all do the wave, amen. I mean, Five Guys? You know Five Guys? Man, they pack the fries in your bag, and then they put them in the brown bag all over the place. And you're like, you dump it up, you know. I mean, you'll be happy. Because, I mean, it's packed down. It's in there, man. It's in there. Well, that's what it means, my friends, to be packed down. And then watch this, the Bible says, shake it together and running over. That means to overflow. My grandmother used to love a good hot cup of coffee. But you know what she liked, Miss Pearl? She liked this. when you put the cup of coffee in there, when you put the coffee in the cup, and I fill it all the way up, I take it to her. And she says, oh, baby, no, you got to let it run off in the saucer. So I had to actually fill it up so it roll off. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. It roll out the top of the coffee cup onto the saucer. And then she'd be like, yes, that's a good cup of coffee there. She wanted to run it over. Now, as a kid, you think, this is how it's supposed to be. So you go to somebody else's house, you know, and they'd be like, I need to run off into the saucer. They look like you're crazy. I like we used to eat collard greens and cornbread. I mean, I'm sorry. My folks from Alabama. You know how they used to eat it? With what? Somebody tell me. With what? Y'all from all y'all know about, with their hands.
I was gonna say that, but I've been
wrong. Yeah, you know. I mean, we would take the cornbread and crush the cornbread up and put it in the greens and put it all together, and then you put your hot sauce wherever you need to put it on there, and we just sit there and eat it like that with our hands. That's how I grew up. You know, I thought that's the way we're supposed to eat collard greens and cornbread. Then you go to my house, and they're like, there's a fork and there's a, oh, we're all y'all people. You know, man, they're like, it's hand food. But what am I saying? The Bible says, my friends, right here in this verse, this is how you know that this is God. God will provide for you. You can trust God to provide for you, especially if you give, it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shake it together, rain over, shall who give? Shall men, the Bible says, give into your bosom. Now, this last little part is going to be a little tricky. He says, for with the same measure, the same portion that ye meet or measure out, with all it shall be measured to you again. It will return or be repaid to you. In other words, if you give it like this to somebody, whoa, let me sit there. What is that? Guess what? That's not going to return. Now, we have a choice. You want to leave it, eat the big people, or do you want it like that? Man, I want my wife to just love me. All my husbands love me. Man, I swear, you just loving them. I wish my kids some kids, they see their mom and dad, they're like, oh, mom and dad, they be just running and hugging on them. I wish my kids would do that. Preach. Question though, are we doing that in return? If you want it, are you giving it? You know? I mean, some of us, man, we want to have our, can't do my feet though, but some of us want to have our foot rubbed, oh, just massaged. And some of y'all about to fall out now. I can't do that because I'm too ticklish. I be having a fit. But now, if y'all want to massage my back, come on, line up. Amen. Y'all can take turns. I'm going to help myself in this preaching. Now, if you want to have your foot rubbed, are you willing to rub the back? That's not a back rubber. Okay, but you're a feet getting rubber, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, what are you saying here? I mean, listen, if we want it back, listen, the Bible's true. This is a principle. You receive that which you give. If you give a little love, you're going to get a little love. You give a lot of love, you'll get a lot of love. You give a lot of friendship, you get a lot of friendship. You give a little friendship. Hey, by the way, if you forgive a little bit, you'll get forgiven a little bit. Huh? You show a little tiny bit of mercy, you receive a little bit of mercy. You give a lot of mercy, you receive a lot of mercy. This is a biblical principle. And my dear friends, the point of the matter here for me and you is this. When God says, I'll provide for you, trust me, when he gives out his word, his commands, says, listen, this is one way I'll provide for you. You give, and I'll give it back, and it'll be pressed together, running over. You'll be like, oh my goodness, look at all this. Instead of us getting jealous of other people. Everybody like them. But they come around, I mean, they had this facade, up in it, and putting off this. I mean, nobody loves me. How are you? When people get around you, listen, I don't know about you, but if I want it, that means I need to start giving it. You see what I'm saying? If I want it, then I need to start giving it. Because the Bible says if I give it, then I also, receive it. These are all basic principles. What are you saying, preacher? God will provide for you. And here's one way that you're guaranteed to get provided for. When you give, he says you will. Look what it says again. He says right here, it shall be given unto you. Now let's flip back over and we're done. The Bible says once again, only verse 14, Joshua 13. He says, only unto the tribe of Levi, he gave non-inheritance. The sacrifice of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance that he sent to them. Verse 33 says this same chapter, but unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. He was their possession, as he said to them. God says, well, you've got me. And that means this. If you've got me, you got more than enough. More than enough. We've got three questions. My first question is this. Are you trusting God to provide? Are you trusting God to provide? The second question is this. What do you, I'm not talking about nobody else, but what do you have need of? What do you have need of? And the third question is this. Are you following His instructions? Are you following His instructions? You follow His instructions, then what you need will be provided. But you got to do it not your way, but you got to do it God's way. Father, thank you. Pray everyone for blessing.